Good morning. The topic today is confidence in prayer. How do we gain confidence in prayer? Well, first, it's know who you are. Second, know who God is. Third, know He's told you to pray. Fourth, know you are aligned to His will. And fifth, know what you have, and you have authority, you have the Holy Spirit, and you have Scripture. And then finally, I'm just going to spend a bit of time talking about praying aloud with others, as I know many of us struggle with that. Let me just pray for us as we start. Lord, we want to get better at prayer. We don't want to waste opportunities to grow closer to you and to advance your kingdom. Help each of us to learn how we can grow in prayer. We open our hearts to you, Holy Spirit, as we invite you to come. Amen. So the first key to confidence in prayer is, I think, know who you are. Prayer is about relationship. It's about communication. If you are a Christian, you're a child of God. He is your Heavenly Father, with all the rights of access and inheritance that a son and daughter of a perfect Father has. With it comes the possibility of an intimate relationship, one of protection and provision, comfort and guidance and companionship. When we become a Christian, we take the offering Jesus made on the cross for us of Himself. We accept that He died for us, and we become in Christ. The Father says, "When I see you, I see Jesus." He treats us as Jesus deserves. So there's no arguing, I'm not good enough. He doesn't see the you that you see. He sees you clothed in righteousness, the righteousness of Christ. He sees all He created you to be. So confidence in prayer comes from knowing who you are in Christ. You don't have to be someone special to be confident in prayer. James 5:17 says Elijah was a man like us. He prayed and rain stopped. He prayed and rain started. Prayer has great power and can bring wonderful results. God, in His goodness, makes our prayers change things. So our confidence in prayer also comes from the fact that we pray in Jesus' name. What does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? When you become a Christian, you're adopted. It is a legal thing which gives you rights, rights of access. God hears all prayers, from Christians and non-Christians alike. If we come in Jesus' name, it means you come as a Christian. It means you're not coming in your own name, in your own reputation or character. If you come expecting Him to answer your prayer because of how good you are or all that you do, you're coming in your own name. We have confidence because we come in Jesus' name and because we come in confidence in who He is and all He did and how good He was. That way, our focus is on Jesus and not on ourselves. Our answered prayers are due to Jesus' unanswered prayer. Jesus prayed, "Father, let this cup pass from me." And the answer was no. Jesus died as a sacrifice for us. We were the joy set before Him as He endured the cross. Jesus knows the shattering experience of unanswered prayer. So second, we need to know who God is. Confidence in prayer comes from faith and belief in the goodness of God. Confidence comes from knowing you're speaking to your Heavenly Father. Hebrews 4, verse 16 tells us we are to approach our Heavenly Father with bold confidence. Remember the testimonies of God, your own and other people's. This is like a diary which reminds us of the goodness of God. As you spend time with Him and know Him better, you will experience more of His goodness. He is our friend and Father. So third, know He's told you to pray. Prayer is a gift to equip us for the journey of life and serving God. It's a gift to equip us and fortify us for the job of representing Him to the world. John 14 verse 13 tells us to ask for anything in my name. Jesus prayed, and He told us how to pray. He gave us the Lord's Prayer. So fourth, know you are aligned with His will. In a way, I think this one throws our confidence the most. It causes us to doubt ourselves and judge one another. I find it helpful to start with the baseline of God knows our heart and He loves us. So then I'm going to share with you some thoughts from some writers that I respect. Dutch Sheets has written a couple of books on prayer. Here's one of them, Intercessory Prayer. It's well underlined and read by me. He says, make sure your prayers are aligned with God's will. He says we're to ask according to His will, not to just try to wrestle from Him something He might not want to give us. We're labourers together with God, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1. So Dutch Sheets says persistence in prayer is necessary, but not to overcome God's reluctance. In 1 Kings 18, there's a wonderful story about Elijah and prayer. The Lord said to Elijah, go show himself to King Ahab and tell him, I will send rain on the face of the earth. This is after a period of drought. God didn't say, I might. He didn't say, if you pray hard enough. He didn't say, I'm thinking about it. He just said, I'm going to do it. It was God's timing, God's idea, God's will. Yet, we are told at the end of this chapter that Elijah prayed 7 times, bent down with his face between his knees, before clouds appeared and the rain came. He didn't casually walk up to the top of the mountain and say, Lord, send the rain, and immediately it was done. That's not the earnest prayer that we heard read in James chapter 5 about Elijah didn't first stop and then bring the rain. Imagine how Elijah felt. God had told him to go to Ahab and tell him he was going to make it rain. Elijah was stepping out to say, God told me to say it. He then had to fight the prophets of Baal so that they were totally discredited. And then he says, rain is on the way, I hear it coming. He then gets on his knees, puts his head between his knees and prays. And then he says to that servant, go and check, is there any rain coming? Are there any clouds? And the servant comes back and says, no. So he gets on his knees again and he prays, and I imagine that it wasn't just a quick, Lord send rain, go and look again. I imagine that each time Elijah prayed earnestly, maybe until he felt a sense of peace, maybe until he sensed hope, and he'd say to his servant, go and look again. And the servant went and looked again and came back and went, no. 7 times that happened. We like instant results. We expect if God shows us His will, that the result will be easy and quick. But this shows us it's not always the case. Don't lose faith or think it's not God's will, or judge one another. We are co-labourers with God. We have to be persistent, not because God is reluctant. He was the one who told Elijah rain's coming. He'd already answered the prayer, if you like. But Elijah still had to persist in prayer. So don't give up and think you got it wrong or it isn't God's will. Another favourite writer and speaker is Tim Keller. He says prayer is a gift for those who are going out in mission. The Lord of the universe says, "You ask, I do." Tim Keller points us to James chapter 4, verse 2 and 3, which says, "You ask, but you don't receive because you want to spend it on your selfish desires." Tim Keller says, God won't let you destroy yourself by granting you things that are from bad motives of the heart. God wants us to ask, otherwise we would think we got it through our own selves. We would then become self-dependent. Tim Keller says the purpose of prayer is that the Father may be glorified. He says if you use something not in accordance with its purpose, you shouldn't complain if it doesn't work right. Tim says, is the purpose of prayer to get God to satisfy your desires immediately? He says to set your heart on things that will satisfy your desires ultimately. To see the glory of God is that you see the nature of God, that you love him for it. Tim Keller says God always gives you what you would have asked for if you would have known everything God knows. These are challenging opinions. Personally, I don't think God only answers our prayers if they're to do with his mission. I think God deals with us all individually and differently. I have a friend who doesn't think it's right to pray for a parking space. I have another friend who prays for parking spaces and sees God reveal his love for her through parking spaces. Both are mature Christians who I respect enormously. I prayed the other day when I was going out shopping with Mum that the disabled space outside John Lewis would be free. I did it instinctively without questioning the theology of it. It wasn't to do with mission, and yet it reveals to me God's love for me, and it's part of my dependence on him and my intimate relationship with him. As I say, it just pours out of me instinctively, and yet maybe some would say, it's wrong. No? So number five is know what you have. So the first thing you have is authority. In Genesis, Adam did what Satan told him to do rather than God. So he gave his trust and authority to Satan. Satan then had authority in the world. And Jesus' death on the cross paid the price for man's sin, so the authority Adam gave to Satan, Jesus took back. And those who follow Jesus therefore come under Jesus' authority. Dutch Sheets says, as we involve ourselves in spiritual warfare, it's imperative that we remember we are not trying to defeat the devil. He is already defeated. We do not re-defeat, we represent and claim the victory of the cross. We represent the victory of the cross to save, to heal, to deliver, to have victory over sin and death, to change and be changed, to be reborn, to be a child of God. Dutch says, we need an accurate understanding of what Christ actually did when he defeated Satan. Satan's destruction wasn't a little one, but rather a legal breaking of his headship or authority. Dutch says nowhere does the Bible say Christ delivered us from Satan's power. It says he delivered us from his exousis, his authority, or in other words, the right to use his power on us. Satan still has all the inherent powers and abilities he has always had. He prowls around like a roaring lion, and he still has fiery darts that he talks about, that we hear about in Ephesians 6. What he lost was the right authority to use his power on those who make Jesus their Lord. However, Satan is a thief and a lawbreaker and will use all his powers and abilities on us anyway, if we don't understand that through Christ, we now have authority over him, and his power is no more if we exercise our authority over him. Authority is the issue. Power does the work, but authority controls the power. So when we enter into spiritual warfare through prayer, we're not praying against people. The warfare is against principalities and powers. Ephesians 6 verse 12 says, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." Bill Johnson, writer and pastor, says, "Satan will attack your righteousness and your identity." Your identity in Christ. This makes sense, doesn't it? Because if Satan doesn't want you to pray, he's afraid of you using your authority against him. He'll therefore attack your identity in Christ, and he'll attack knowing who you are and who you are in Christ. Because these two, I've just said, give you the confidence to pray. So Matthew 6 verse 33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." And we know from Romans 14 that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace and joy. So the principalities and powers are persecuting the character of God. That is why it's so important for us to know who God is. Satan has influenced the church's portrayal of God to be distant and judging and punishing and a killjoy. It's up to us to represent God in his goodness, in his love, compassion, that he fights for us and stays with us. Then we can pray and we can show others how to pray with confidence in him and with a strong sense of our personal identity in him. So as well as authority, we pray in Jesus' name. I've been really challenged by this as I prepared for this sermon. What does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? Is it like a magic word, like abracadabra, that makes the prayers answered? I confess that I think maybe sometimes I've slipped into this. Whereas by praying in Jesus' name, we're releasing his authority and his power into situations. We declare the name of Jesus and we allow the victory of Christ access to the situation we are praying into. We have authority because of who we are in him, and we have power because of who he is and what he has done and continues to do. The name Jesus isn't like some alternative to abracadabra. It contains power because it shows the demons who is behind our prayers. We use his name as a way to ask him to intercede on our behalf. And we use his name to show we are praying with his authority as his representatives here on earth. So I think I've been challenged to pause before I say the words in Jesus' name, to check. I'm not just saying them like magic words, but I'm aligning myself with him, drawing on his power and all he is and stands for. And then there's the Holy Spirit. If you're a Christian, you have Holy Spirit in you. Trust in the power of Holy Spirit as you pray, to guide you, to give you the words to say, to communicate with you, and use you to release his power into a situation. So trust in Holy Spirit as you pray. Charles was teaching us a couple of weeks ago about praying with authority. General declarations, all commands, release the power of the Holy Spirit. The practice of laying on of hands is another scriptural method of imparting power, the power of Holy Spirit. Finally, he gives us scripture. So turn Bible verses into prayer. He has given us his sword. Speak the word of God as a sword into situations. When you need guidance from God, pray Psalm 25, verse 4. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. When you are afraid, pray Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Lord, be my stronghold. Show me that you are my stronghold. When you need to feel God's protection, pray Psalm 61, verse 2 to 3. From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. Finally, I would like to speak to those of you who struggle to pray aloud with or in front of others. It can be difficult to integrate another person into your connection with God. Maybe you find it easy to speak to God. You have an intimate prayer life with him, and as with human relationships, a two becoming a three changes things. This can then feel difficult, more awkward. It can even spoil your prayer time with God. There's definitely a place for intimacy, but there's also a place for sharing with each other's features of your relationship with God, with one another, in order to grow one another. So when my daughter Katrine says to me how she prays and how God speaks to her, it encourages me to think, I could pray like that. I should expect God to speak to me like that. Talk to one another about how you pray and what God has said to you and what you have said to him. You can try out a new way of praying with others. For instance, Rachel Danley came to Harmony and shared with us about praying with your imagination. She then encouraged us to try this. You can try new ways of praying together. I encourage you to expose yourself to how others pray. Join at first without praying aloud and learn until you feel confident to pray aloud. One reason we can struggle to pray aloud is that we fear that others may judge you and your relationship with God. It's exposing yourself to others and something that's important to you. It's making yourself vulnerable. Again, all I can do is encourage you to try, as praying with others is definitely a way to grow closer to others. Because of the very nature of prayer, you're going to share more intimate things about yourself with the people you're praying with. And because you're stepping out and exposing yourself, you're going to grow closer to one another. In the same way as if you join in a conversation, when you share your opinion or a story about yourself, it exposes us to others. But without it, we don't really get to know each other and grow closer. If this is you, acknowledging it to yourself that this is how you feel and realizing it may help you to persevere. It may be that you've been brought up to believe prayer is private between you and God. That is right, in intimate prayer. But prayer is also corporate. Matthew 18 verse 20 says, where two or three are gathered together, there am I. There's power in it. Prayer connects you to the Holy Spirit and he works in you and that is multiplied when we pray together. In prayer, God speaks. It's sometimes easier to hear from God while praying with others, as while one is praying, the other can listen to God. And while the other then prays, the first one can then listen to God. And then you respond to what each other is hearing from God. And the whole thing grows like a conversation that together comes clearer. It builds confidence and more power is released. It may be that we dislike praying aloud with others as it makes us step away from God. Our focus becomes more on pleasing people rather than God. This is definitely a danger. We need to focus on God, speak directly to him, block them out. Concentrate on him as you would in any group conversation. It's a skill to be aware of how what you're saying is impacting others and at the same time give your full attention to the person you're speaking to, and in this case, it's God. There's a danger of changing the way you pray to do it the same as others. We need to be secure in ourselves, but be exposed to others because we can always learn. If thinking about what others think about you and what you are praying, rather than being relaxed because you know what God thinks about you and what you're praying, if that's a real problem for you, if you're very distracted by it, ask God, why am I worried about this? There may be an issue in your heart, a wound that's there perhaps, that God can show you so you could deal with it. Corporate prayer is not so very different from any group conversation, except that the one you're speaking to totally loves you, wants the best for you, immediately forgives you, knows what you mean, doesn't think less of you, doesn't compare you with others. What he thinks matters so much more than what others think. Come to corporate prayer meetings thinking about what others will get out of it, not what you will get out of it. Concern yourselves with others, not with yourself. Humility is not about thinking less about yourself, but thinking about yourself less. Praying aloud for some is about dying to self. It's part of your call to sacrifice for God, of your image or of your comfort on the prayer altar of God. So as I end in a time of prayer, I'm actually going to be silent so you can pray in your heart and respond to God and say anything you want to or need to say to him this morning. So let's just pray. In Jesus' name, Amen.